I'm going to ask if Ethan would come and read the scripture for me this morning, save my voice a little bit. We're in Judges chapter 14. And if you'd like to preach on it, you can do that too, but
all right. So, Judges 14, verse 1. Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah, he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and mother, "I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." But his father and mother said to him, "Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all your people that you must go take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" But Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she is right in my eyes." His father and mother did not know that it was from the Lord, for he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines ruled over Israel. Then Samson went down with his father and mother to Timnah, and they came to the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came toward him roaring. Then the spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and although he had nothing in his hands, he tore the lion in pieces. And as one tears a young goat, but as he did not tell his father or mother what he had done. Then he went down and talked with the woman, and she was right in Samson's eyes. After some days, he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees in the body of the lion, and honey. He scraped it out into his hands and went on, eating as he went. And he came to his father and mother and gave some to them, and they ate. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey from the carcass of the lion. His father went down to the woman, and Samson prepared a feast there, so the young men used to do. As soon as the people saw him, they brought 30 companions to be with him. And Samson said to them, "Let me now put a riddle to you. If you can tell me what it is within the 7 days of the feast, and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes. But if you cannot tell me what it is, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothes." And they said to him, "Put your riddle that we may hear it." And he said to them, "Out of the eater came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet." And in 3 days they could not solve the riddle. On the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband to tell us what the riddle is, lest we burn you and your father's house with fire. Have you invited us here to impoverish us?" And Samson's wife wept over him and said, "You only hate me. You do not love me. You have put a riddle to my people, and you have not told me what it is." And he said to her, "Behold, I have not told my father nor my mother, and I shall tell you." She wept before him the 7 days at their feast, as their feast lasted. And on the seventh day, he told her, because she pressed him hard. Then she told the riddle to her people, and the men of the city came and said to Samson on the seventh day, before the sun went down, "What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion?" And he said to them, "If you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle." And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and struck down 30 men in the town and took their spoils and gave the garments to those who had told the riddle. In hot anger, he went back to his father's house, and Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been his best man.
I love the Bible. It tells about people warts and all. You know what I'm saying? The heroes of the Bible are not that heroic. And to me, it's a great comfort. I also like the book of Judges, it comes out of a time in archaeological history. It's the Bronze Age, end of the Bronze Age, Dark Age. All there had been a collapse of civilizations, and the whole area was reduced to kind of city states and chaos. And this into that chaos comes the children of Israel, and we get these vignettes, these bit of history out of a time it's just blackness. And I love also the teaching that's in it. I love that in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, it lists those who by faith did great things and pleased God and served God by faith. And I love that Samson's listed in that list, because he seems like a misfire to me. He looks the more, and we'll see it next week too, he looks like a spiritual dud to me. And if God can use Samson, there's hope for me. That's where I'm going in this series, part of what I'm going for. Now, I read some of the commentators on this chapter, and particularly I love some of the old commentators from the 1800s. But they twisted themselves in all kinds of knots trying to justify Samson's behavior, because he's a judge and because he's got the Holy Spirit. And so they say, well, maybe it wasn't bad. Samson sins all through this chapter. That's really the story of this chapter. How bad can a judge be? And we find out pretty bad, really. We're going to list Samson's sins, so you count them. See if you come up with the same number that I had. He disrespected his parents. Did you know that's a sin? Yeah? This is the law. His parents said, we don't want you to marry that unbeliever. And he said, get her for me. That's disrespectful, isn't it? Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. He disobeyed his parents. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of the town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is a profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men of the town shall stone him to death. You must purge evil from among you. And all Israel will hear it and be afraid. I was teaching Deuteronomy at a campground many years ago. And when we came upon this portion of scripture, I said, I guess there wouldn't be very many people left alive in America today. And Donnie Kroll from Nova Scotia said, no, he said, after about the second stoning, all the young people would straighten up. There'd be a change. But Samson is disobedient and rebellious, and he's a national figure. He's a judge. You remember last week in Judges 13 that an angel announced that he was going to be born, and everybody was looking, what kind of child is this going to be? And he had all of these blessings. He's famous before he's born. And he's a huge disappointment. I think he's spoiled because he acts spoiled. So I think, Mama and Papa, they knew he's got God's call on his life. And so we better treat him with kid gloves. Samson needed more spankings, that's all. And he hadn't, they don't show in their adult life that they have the will to stand up to Samson. He married a Gentile, which is definitely against the law. When you choose some of their daughters, speaking of the Gentiles as wives, and for your sons, and those daughters prostitute themselves to their gods, they will leave your sons to do the same. And the law was filled of prohibitions about people marrying the Gentiles. He touched a dead body. That's peculiar to the vows of the Nazarite. As we went over last week, they were not supposed to, for any reason, touch a dead body. Throughout the period of his separation to the Lord, he, that is the Nazarite, must not go near a dead body. He ate defiled food. You must not eat their meat or touch their carcass. They are unclean for you. It's a list of what's clean and unclean for the Jewish people to eat. He deceived his parents. I don't think they would have eaten the honey if they'd known what it was, do you? I don't think it takes a degree in theology to say they would not. Would you eat the honey? Came out of that rotten lion? No way. It shows how out of control he is regarding his own lusts, that he would eat that. And he deceived his parents. Do not steal, do not lie, do not deceive one another. He gave them defiled food, and I've got the same reference from Leviticus where it forbids eating unclean meat or touching it. Undoubtedly, he drank wine, even though it doesn't say it in the text. He has a Philistine feast for a week. And the Philistines aren't going to come to a dry wedding feast. So undoubtedly, as host, he's participated in the drinking that's part of that culture. He must abstain from wine and other fermented drink. He must not drink vinegar made from wine or from other fermented drink. He must not drink grape juice or eat grapes or raisins as long as he's a Nazarite, in case you're wondering. And this is helpful for us to understand. When you read the Old Testament law, does that mean I'm not supposed to eat grapes? No, this was an application for a particular person. This was a Nazarite or someone that wanted to have a particular time of dedication, consecration to the Lord. As long as he's a Nazarite, he must not eat anything that comes from the grapevine, not even seeds or raisins. This did not apply to all Israel, but it did apply to Samson, because he was a Nazarite. He's coveting. It says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house, you shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or cell phone, or laptop, or large screen TV, or shoes, or anything that is your neighbor, anything that belongs to your neighbor, and gambling. Now, this is the only example I know, the only prohibition, and it's not a direct prohibition in the Word of God to gambling. I think the problem with gambling is coveting. The problem with gambling is you want something for nothing or next to nothing. You want what your neighbor's got. That's the heart problem with gambling. But if someone says, the fire department's trying to buy a new fire engine and you want to make a contribution to that, I think you should feel at peace about making a contribution to that. And if you happen to win, I'm not worried about that. I think you have to discern between something that's destructive and something that's not. But certainly, this is great teaching that you shouldn't even bet on a sure thing. Samson thought he had a sure thing. Let me tell you a riddle, Samson said, and you can give me the answer in the 7 days of the feast. I'll give you 30 linen garments and 30 sets of clothing, and it goes on. He's got pride. And the Bible forbids pride. In the law, it forbids pride. If after all this you will not listen to me, I will punish you for your sins 7 times over. I will break down your stubborn pride and make the sky above you like iron and the ground beneath you like bronze. Samson is full of pride. He's not only strong, but he's smart. Isn't that a clever riddle that he made? It's tough to come up with a riddle that's any good. And he murders. Now, I know that there are in the law 28 capital crimes. A capital crime is a crime for which the penalty is death. And in the law, there were 28 crimes. But winning But these guys who were in Ascalon, the 30 men that he killed in Ascalon, they were not at that point at war with them. He just murdered them. And the word of God says, you shall not murder. What Samson did do is not justified as being application of one of the 28 capital crimes in the law. So, what is Samson doing in the Bible? He's an object lesson. It's interesting, in this text it says his parents didn't understand what's going on when he wants to marry this Philistine thing, and the Bible tells us God had a plan in it. Now, God's plan was not for Samson to live happily ever after with this Philistine bride that he wants. Does Samson have a happily ever ending to his marriage? No, it's a disaster right from the start. Only it's like a National Enquirer. It's like a Kardashian thing, right? Or one of these shows where they put there's one bachelor on there and a dozen desperate, insane women that desire to be publicly humiliated. That's in the Bible. And everybody, Samson's famous. You know, would you like your name in the Bible? Doesn't it depend? You want a snapshot of the most stupid times in your life, and that gets in the Bible? That's what Samson's got here. And God uses Samson, and it's an act of grace. People have tried to say that in the Old Testament they were saved by the law. Well, Samson made no pretense on the hosts of laws, did he? Did he know he was supposed to respect his parents? Yes. Did he know he's not supposed to marry a Philistine? Yes. He knows. He knows it all. Do you know? You don't even have to have a Bible verse that says, don't eat honey out of the rotten carcass. He didn't need the Spirit of the Lord to know. And he's there. You know, have you ever seen roadkill? It doesn't smell good. How can he sustain his lust for honey in that mess? Oh, look, bees. He is a despicable person. And grace is undeserved love. The disasters in his life are going to be an illustration for his people and for us that though you have the Spirit of God, you will still suffer when you sin. Samson, I guess, is going to be in the kingdom. He's listed in Hebrews chapter 11 as one of those who by faith did things. I guess God's grace is big enough to save Samson. I had somebody tell me up at Big Lake. My brother's got a church there at Big Lake, and I saw someone, and he wanted to justify to me why people talk to me like I'm God sometimes, which is really crazy. But they got to justify. If they say a swear, they say, oh, sorry. Like I'm going to call down lightning. Boom. And so I saw a guy at camp this summer. He said, I'm not going to Ernest Church. I said, oh, okay. He said, and he named the person. And he named his sin. He's such a sinner, I can't go to that church. I thought, there's always room for one more. Samson's in the Bible like we're in church. We're here by the grace of God, right? Samson's in the Bible to show us if you marry an unbeliever, you may not be that happy. If you think your parents aren't going to find out, your parents are going to find out, and it's going to get in the Bible. Or everyone's going to know. Be sure your sin will find you out. And Samson goes on in willful disobedience. And God has mercy on him. Now, I don't want to encourage you one moment in disobedience. But I will say, God will make an example of you. You'll come to a place in your life where you'll get up at testimony time and you'll say, I wish I never ate 6 bowls of macaroni and tomatoes. Can I get an amen? I ate 6 bowls of macaroni and tomatoes. It was a sad day. I should have known better after 4 bowls. Hmm? 3. I should have known better after 2. 2 was enough. God will use you for his glory. This is an exciting thing about God. God is going to use you for your glory even if you rebel. You know, God, I've heard people say, I feel so sorry for Judas. God made him do that. God did not make him do anything. God had 6 million or so Jews to choose from. And he said, who is going to, of their own volition, who is willing to sell my son for 30 pieces of silver? And he looked over the crowd. He said, Judas would love that. He knew what Judas was like. Judas did just what he wanted. And salvation came. This is one of the mysteries and marvels of God, how God takes a terrible tragedy. He takes people's rebellion and he brings glory to his name. And we just say, how do you do that? Well, he's smart, that's all. He's smarter than we are. And we'll be better off. Now, I thank the Lord we're not under the law, right? I thank the Lord that I can eat grapes and raisins. Don't you like raisins? Yeah? Some of you don't like raisins? That's crazy. I thank the Lord that we're not under the law, but I thank the Lord that we have the law. There's so much wisdom there. I thank the Lord I didn't have to stone my kids when they were trouble. But I still thank the Lord there's wisdom in saying, children, it says in the New Testament, children, obey your parents, for this is right and pleases God our Father. It's a blessing to have the law, especially when you're not bound by the law. And the blessing of our lives is in many ways dependent on our walking the narrow road and keeping to what God wants. God wants to use us. Wouldn't it be nice to have that be a happy experience for us? God will use us one way or another, but we can cooperate with him and things work out so much more nicely.